Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. When we first launched the Better Business, Better Series podcast, our goal was to connect our listeners to a wide variety of business leaders, entrepreneurs, and innovators. In short, we wanted to take what we know a lot about and bring it to our audience. In many ways, that's what a podcast can do best for anyone, taking what you know and diving in deep. That's exactly what Dallas Taylor has done with his podcast, 20,000 Hertz. As the owner of DeFacto Sound in Silver Spring, Maryland, and host of a wildly successful podcast, Dallas loves talking about sound and how it impacts our lives. And Dallas, as you put it to me as we were preparing for this interview, you like to get nerdy about sound.
Yes, definitely.
Thanks for being here with us, first of all.
Thank you.
So what was your goal when we're going to talk about the business of podcasts and a lot of stuff that I hope will make sense to people who are thinking about maybe launching a podcast or any sort of digital extension in your experience. But you've had a solid business here with DeFacto, and then you decided, hey, you've had this passion project, as I understand it, to launch 20,000 Hertz. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so DeFacto Sound has been around for 8 years. That started after I worked for a few different television networks, NBC, Fox, G4, and Discovery. Started DeFacto Sound 8 years ago and primarily focused on pretty much everything television, film, games, across wide-ranging type of genres. We do everything except for music. Which does tie into what the podcast mission is, because a lot of people, whenever they hear you're a sound company but you don't do music, about 90% of people usually scratch their heads and they're like, what else is there outside of music? And there's a lot outside of music. So everything around you that is not music is the type of stuff that we focus on. DeFacto, making dialogue sound amazing, making rebuilding environments, everything from Foley, which is things that you typically touch with your feet and hands.
Which has got to be the coolest job, everyone agrees, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's something that you perform while watching someone on screen do their role.
And that's still done. I mean, it's not to get distracted here, but I love Foley stuff. And I mean, it's not just old-time radio shows, but it's done very much to this day on probably any movie you watch, right?
Absolutely. Because if you are trying to cut that in from a prior recorded sound effect, it doesn't match at all. So just like, you know, the voice, there's infinite ways to perform something. Yeah. The same goes for whenever you touch something, because what the character's touching is an extension of their performance in some way. And so you can overplay it and they can sound really clumsy and crazy. And you can, if you underplay it, it can sound really weak. And so there's this performance balance with that. So Foley, the things that you touch typically, backgrounds, these are things like wind and environments and room tones. We also do a lot outside of that is like heart effects. It's kind of a weirder concept because these are things like door shuts and explosions and really anything that you can go to an old recording and create. So something you don't necessarily have to perform. It's also something that's not really long, that spans over the course of a scene. But typically things that you can kind of build in, weirder sound effects, things like that.
So your life is like full of sound and your business is, and I imagine you just walk around listening to sounds as you walk down the street. So Foley, working with a lot of major cable networks and doing lots of sound stuff. So then what happened? 20,000 Hertz was just sitting there in the back of your mind?
Yes. For a good like 5 or 6 years, it's something that I thought about. And to be honest, it came out of podcasts used to be, a couple of guys talking about tech was kind of what I remember podcasts being for the longest time. But then there were things like This American Life and then Fast Forward Radio Lab and 99% Invisible. And it really got me thinking about like, wow, okay, this is something that is can hold on its own storytelling and storytelling wise. And it was really 99% Invisible that even influenced the way that I approached how I talked about my own business. And so the idea of 20,000 Hertz has been just rolling around for 5-6 years. It was something that I didn't really pursue because I felt like Roman Mars over at 99% Percent Invisible did such a great job of the sound shows. But then over time, they really focused in on Laserdin and architecture, different things. They still do sound shows, but I just wanted to gobble that up constantly. So a little bit with his blessing, I kind of passed it along and said, hey, I want to, you know, start pursuing this. He was super cool about it, incredibly nurturing and friendly, and decided to do that. And it's really a mirror of the company in a way, because we don't talk about music on the show, which is very easy to jump into. And the reason being is because there's a lot of amazing music podcasts, just like there are a lot of amazing composers with the De Facto Sound side. We focus on sound. They focus on music. They do a better job at music than we would do. We do a better job at sound than they would do. Same with the podcast, is that we focus purely on sound minus music, because there's just amazing people talking about that. So the podcast really is a mirror, content wise to the studio.
And I could spend an hour talking to you about the show. It's really fascinating, and we urge all of our listeners to check it out. You guys have done really well. First of all, I mean,
Thank you.
I mean, you're getting a lot of downloads.
Yes.
Okay.
Thankfully, there was a lot of support really early on, with Roman and NPR One, and a lot of press came out very quickly, and so that did really great for getting us going.
You mentioned how the show was actually marketed and you got press, and I want to talk about the business of podcast a little bit. So podcasts, like other business extensions or sales tools even, can be a powerful way to connect to potential customers, no matter maybe what you're doing. How have you done that with your show? How has it worked as a sales tool? Not that that was your intention, and I don't know, but talk to us about that.
I think that was one of many things. It wasn't the sole, just like with everything, that wasn't the sole reason, but there's a great book, Start With Why, which is fantastic, and I've been simmering on that for a while. And with sound, it's something that we talk about a lot around here, but it was like, I wanted to get these, the nerdiness, the thought process, you know, how we as an internal group of sound designers think about sound out to just normal people. Because sound isn't something that's an exclusive club, for audiophiles in a dark room. But we're all invited to it. So it was really important to communicate that in a way that wasn't audiophile or overly complicated. And that's what the show was. So it's a very roundabout way of marketing, because there's one way of marketing where it's just like very direct, beat you over the head with, you know, I could put out a podcast that's called the De Facto Sound Podcast, and we talk about all of our projects. Overly hit people up with, here's what we did, and you know, here's what we want more of, and this and that and whatever. But with the podcast, it was like, give people real free value. It's just kind of hoping. It's a gut reaction. I mean, some of the best marketers that I know in the field work very heavily off of just what they want in content. And so it's just like, give, I've heard people say, there's fantastic marketing people over at MusicBed, and they've kind of just said, like, give, ask if you ever need it. Mm-hmm. So that's just something that in where I am right now, it's just like, all I want to do is I just want to give content. And then if something comes back, which it does, I can't plan it. I can't figure it out. I wish I had the magic formula for exactly here's what I give to get this back and all this. But I just don't think humans work that way. I think people can sniff being marketed to or being somebody being salesy to them very, very quickly.
Now more than ever, and maybe millennials more than ever. I mean, they've grown up in this environment of we all have it with advertising and TV, but it's everywhere and it's just in your face. And so I think your point of, I love this idea of free value and give, ask, where you're creating content that somebody just really wants. And yeah, over time, I mean, it's no secret that somebody will say, hey, De Facto Sound and Dallas Taylor, they know what they're doing over there.
That's exactly, yeah. And that's happened a few times with some pretty big projects just kind of falling out of what seems like falling out of the sky. But it's just stuff that it's gotten to such a wide audience that someone that I have no idea who's telling someone else and doing this, and hey, you should check this out, and oh wow, we have this project coming up, and it's amazing how the world works whenever you just give stuff to it.
It's a form of networking. It's not exclusively that, but you've reached a lot of people in a powerful way with a tool of sound, which is what you do. So, I mean, obviously you know this, but it's kind of come together in a way that really is fascinating for you. Let's talk about how maybe a business owner or entrepreneur who can reach an audience with a podcast. I know that's a very generic question. It depends on what you're doing. Maybe, you know, if you've got a landscaping company, it might not be the most obvious thing to do, but maybe there's something there. You know, maybe you're talking about gardening and for every podcast, not every podcast, but for so many, it's a niche audience. You're reaching a group of people who are interested in a topic. They say, yeah, I want to listen to more about this. So talk about that, your sort of general ideas about, hey, I want to launch a podcast.
So I'm going to step back a little bit. It's like whenever you're in high school, a lot of people feel really isolated from the people around them. Like, God, I just don't feel like I'm connected to these people because I have these quirky interests myself, but these other people don't. But then you get to college and you major in something and you're like, whoa, okay, wow, other people are nerdy about the same thing that I'm nerdy about. So a lot of people find some of like their closest lifelong friends in college because everyone went and everyone got segmented down to this very specific niche that everyone's really into. And so what I've noticed is like past that is putting content out into the world. It further like narrows down all these people that are super nerdy and into that one thing that you're into. There's a good chance that if you're really, really into something, there's a lot of people out there. They just might not be in your immediate vicinity. And it's a great way to get, to also just be a thought leader in that. I don't think that I'm necessarily brilliant in any way in what I'm doing. I do have an expertise in something, but the difference is that I'm just putting things together and surrounding myself with incredible writers and teams and sound designers who can, I'm just like a facilitator to make something happen. It's just a matter of doing or not doing something. And so, with podcast in particular, I do think that production value and things can take you pretty far, but just simply getting ideas out there is more valuable than just keeping them to yourself. And you might find along the way that there's a whole group of people, and it doesn't have to be 100,000 people. It could be, 500 people or 1,000 people that are really, really into that same topic. And so it's just a way to reach the world. I'm still blown away that I can hit publish on something and it goes to the entire world. I think I looked the other day and there's only 5 countries in the entire world that it hasn't been downloaded.
Right.
And that's including North Korea. There's even a download there. So it's just amazing how much access you can get to the world through that. And it's an extremely intimate medium.
Well, so I want to pick up on a few things that you've mentioned. First of all, this idea of being, there's a subtlety to it where you're not beating someone over the head with a marketing message. And we talk about this landscaping idea. I'm just going to go with that. But, what you do with sound is, it seems like, number one is you're passionate about it. And that, I think, comes through with the show. So people hear that. So if you're a landscaping company and you're passionate about what you're doing, I think putting that across in a way that people are listening to and they say, hey, this guy is not just trying to advertise to me, but or this woman or this man, whoever it may be, they're talking about something that they really care about and they're interested in. And maybe you can comment on that. Then secondly, I love the idea of the high school scene. I mean, podcasts are kind of like the chess club glorified in a digital extension.
Well, there's a lot of people that are into podcasts too that wouldn't, I don't know if they really, podcasts are kind of going beyond just this podcast club.
Yeah.
And it's going to just the mainstream. So I think that there's a lot of people who are listening to Serial and, S-Town and This American Life that I don't think that they really consider themselves like podcast listeners. They're just like content consumers.
Absolutely.
And I'm seeing more and more people like that, who wouldn't consider themselves, oh, I'm like an avid podcaster. It's like, no, I really like this thing that
I like being entertained.
Exactly.
Right. So I like learning things.
We're just, even the term podcast is such an antiquated term. I mean, it's an audio focused piece of content, which is just as viable as everything else.
And it's caused a lot of confusion over the years. I know there's been discussions about changing that, but I think it's here to stay, the term, but you're right. It's more just about what do you listen to in the car.
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
On your commute or whenever. We've got a few more minutes, and then actually we're going to spend time and have another interview with you, if we may, talking about sort of the business of sound in a different way. So let me ask you one more question. There's a lot of digital extensions out there, whether it's video, Facebook, Twitter, and again, a big wide-ranging question, but how can a business owner navigate the landscape, figure out what might work best for them? I assume you have people that come to you, or tell me if this ever happens, and say, hey, I'd love to do an audio show or podcast or something along along those lines, it might not be the right solution for them. Maybe they should be doing some videos that will attract attention. There's a lot of choices.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the most interesting, best use of you know, digital, you know, or a new media format that I saw is just an electrician that I used at an old studio just did this great thing where he would just do simple tutorials of how to install a receptacle or a plug or a light or something. It was nothing special.
I probably watched that, by the way.
Right? Yeah. It's right. It's like, think about what you do and think about the common issues that are in there. So you don't have to do a long 30-minute, you know, highly produced podcast. It might not be worth it at all. But, you know, here I'm planting, you know, daisies, and here's the common misconceptions. We take it for granted, but we have these really powerful cameras in our pockets that it might not seem culturally. We think, oh, you know, I can't use that thing. It's in my pocket. But I mean, there's people are making films on these things. And so, you know, get a little $100 microphone you can plug into the bottom of that thing, a little lav mic, put it on your collar, and just show somebody how to plant something, and then just use iMovie and cut it down and post it to YouTube, and do that, you know, do that once a week, or just make a practice of doing that. And eventually you'll see people searching, you know what, what are the specifics to planting daisies? And you're the one there saying, here's the specifics to this simple thing. So you don't have to conquer the world. You can just do very simple things on your own channel, or and not even have to overly market. But I just know that a lot of it builds trust whenever I watch an electrician on YouTube, and I'm like, that's the electrician that I want. Yep. And I'm like, oh, they're in Maryland? Okay, well, they're my electrician.
I love that concept of not getting too bogged down by some great big strategy, which certainly there are big businesses that need to do that, that have to do that, that are putting a big budget behind something. But if you're interested in something, you've got a business and you want to get it out there, create content and see how it goes. I mean, it's easy enough to hit the publish button.
Exactly.
Once you've created something that you
can. And make sure it's something that you're into. I think if you're into barbecuing, you don't have to just barbecue. You know, you might also be interested in picking up a camera and telling people about it. You know, if you tell stories about your, you tell people about, you know, the meat and here's how you do and all this stuff, like you could throw a camera on that thing. And some of the best YouTube channels out there are people who are doing barbecue, and you can tell they just love it. So take what you love and just get it out to the world.
And if you're really not good, you're going to hear about it probably, right, in the comments.
just don't read the comments.
Somebody will tell you, don't read comments. All right, Dallas Taylor, we look forward to having you back actually next week to talk more about the business of sound. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And if you would like to learn more, and you should learn more about Dallas and the 20,000 Hertz podcast, 20k.org, is that the best first stop, Dallas?
That's it, 20k.org.
Okay. For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.